Hello, it's good to be with you today, and I hope that you're having a great day. I hope that you've already heard from the Lord today in your own personal devotion time with Him, and I hope that you're looking forward to our hearing from Him together. I know I look forward to these times. I hope that they're a blessing to you. But as we're together in the presence of our Lord, let's seek Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day, and O Lord God, that you, as the Almighty God, desire for us to know you, Lord, to grow closer to you, to know your ways, Father, to be able to experience you. Father, I ask, Lord, as we open your word, Father, that you will enable us, O God, to personally encounter you and hear from you this day. Lord, speak to us, draw us closer, help us to grow in your grace, to know you better, to love you more, to trust you better, God, Father, to experience you. Be with us in this time, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Usually when we come to the book of Psalms, what goes through our mind is adversity or hardship or finding comfort or strength or guidance in those types of situations. And a lot of the Psalms are written from that background, and they are a tremendous blessing and an encouragement for us in those times. We've already seen several of them, and we will see several more of them, many more of them, as we go through this book of Psalms together. But yet, what if it's somebody else, particularly another believer, who's going through a time of adversity and difficulty? Again, we usually go to the book of Psalms to think about, how to find guidance when we are going through a time of difficulty or adversity. But what if it's someone else, another brother or sister in Christ? Well, that's the background of Psalm 20. The context is that King David is going off to battle and he stops to pray. And this is the people's action as they see David pray and as David leaves. This is what they do while they see David, their king, coming to pray and then going to battle. Now, the psalm is actually a shadowing, if you will, of our great King, our Lord and Savior, going to battle for us. So, in a sense, it is a messianic psalm in a sense, but I want us to look at it from that standpoint of I guess you say, the local meaning here, of David stopping to pray, the people seeing him do that, and their reactions to David as he's facing this time of battle, as he's facing this time of having to, in fact, confront the enemies of Israel. And so, as we think about another brother or sister in Christ, and I'm sure that probably every single one of us, we probably have our own issue or problem or burden this morning or today. But we probably also know at least one other believer who also is having a time of difficulty, maybe even greater than our own. What is it that we need to do for them? Well, look with me as we look at Psalm 20. And the first thing that we see in the psalm, it would probably be the obvious answer for us, is the fact that we need to pray for them. Look at verses 1 through 4. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all of your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. Again, think of the immediate context. David is going to battle. He has stopped to pray. And the people here have seen him do that. And now they are, in fact, lifting him up in prayer. And you think about how that applies. You think about what they said here. Look again at verses 1 and 2. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Remember, David had stopped to pray. May God hear your prayer. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. They're praying, God, may God work and move and provide for you in this time. And as they talk there about the sanctuary, this is where the Ark of the Covenant was here at this point. This is why David had come to this place to pray. And so they, in turn, lift up David. We think of in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, again, we usually think of those verses in terms of ourselves. It's a beautiful promise there that because we are through Jesus Christ, God's adopted children, we have an open invitation to come to His throne of grace for any need that we have. But it also applies when it's our brother or sister who's having that need. We can come to the throne of grace and petition for them. And you think about it, the throne of God's grace is the throne that rules over all creation and eternity. And we need to pray as they did, may God provide His power, His strength, His guidance, His comfort. Now, obviously, if they're a non-believer, we pray that God will work even through this situation to bring them to Himself. But we need to lift them up to pray. Again, you think of verse 3, and may He remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. Again, David went to pray for God's guidance and for God's strength and presence, and they pray for God to, in fact, answer those prayers. They want God to unmistakably answer those. They want David to experience God's nearness and God's presence, and that's what we need to pray for. Again, verse 4, may He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. Now understand, the idea there is not may God do whatever it is you're wanting Him to do. The idea there is may God reveal unto you what He wants you to desire and then fulfill it. It's the same idea that you see in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Meaning that if we put God first, if we delight in Him, then He will lay upon our heart those things which He wants us to desire. And because those things are His will, that as we walk in trust and obedience, He will fulfill them. The idea there, may He grant you your heart's desire, that desire which God had placed upon David. Fulfill all your counsel. That is the leadership, the wisdom, and guidance that God had given David. As they prayed for David is how we need to pray for that brother or sister in Christ who's going through that difficulty. Again, I'm sure probably all of us have something going on in our life today. But I'm sure we know of someone else, another believer, who's also going through something very difficult. Maybe even if we're honest, more difficult than our own. We need to pray for them. But not only do we need to pray for them, we need to rejoice for them. Look at what we see in verse 5. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. You know, when God moves, we ought to praise and thank Him. But not just when He moves in our life and answers our prayers and meets our needs, but also in the lives of those brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through a difficult time. Now, obviously, the people of Israel benefited from David's victory. But even if we don't personally benefit, so to speak, from God moving in the life of another believer, we ought to rejoice for them. You know, Romans 12, 5 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, we as believers, we tend to do a pretty good job about weeping with those who weep. But let's be honest, very seldom do we really rejoice with those who rejoice. I remember a lady who I knew one time, and she got in a wreck, totaled out her car, which her car was quite old, so it didn't take much for it to be totaled out. And, the very next Sunday in church, that happened midways through the week, you know, so many people came up to her in church and were so sorry that she had totaled her car, so sorry that she had had the wreck, you know, and seemed to be quite genuine and sincere about that. Well, she had already made plans to replace the car, so when that happened, it just sped up the process. So she bought a new car, and then the next Sunday, you know, drove the new car to church. And the same people who the week before were willing to weep with her when she was weeping about being in a wreck were not nearly as quick to rejoice with her over the fact that God had provided her a new car. Wasn't extravagant, a nice car, but nothing extravagant. We need to not only weep with those who weep, we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. And it is an evidence of spiritual and emotional maturity when we can rejoice over God blessing a fellow believer. especially if it's in ways that appear to be more of a blessing than He's given us up to this time. An answer to prayer, an opportunity, a door being opened, a gift, some success, some promotion, whether it's for themselves or their children or their grandchildren, we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. And we need to not only weep with them, but we need to in fact rejoice with them. We will never really have the joy of the Lord until we are able to rejoice in what God's done in the lives of others. Even if at this moment it appears to be more than what He's done in our lives, even if it seems to get more attention than what He's done in our life that has right now, we need to rejoice in them. We need to pray with them when they're in the trial, and we need to rejoice with them when God has worked and moved. But not only do we need to rejoice with them, but we need to learn from them. Think of what we see in verses 6 through 8. "Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day when we call." I went on into verse 9. Look at the growth and the increase that comes in their faith after they rejoice in seeing God answer the prayers that they prayed for David as he went out to battle. Look at the pattern. David was going through a time of difficulty. They prayed for him. When God answered, they rejoiced. And because they were able to rejoice, they were really able to see the work that God had done, could appreciate it, and it caused them to realize and to recognize that this God is a God who, in fact, can be trusted. You think of the terms that they used, that the psalmist used, that David himself, in fact, uses as he is inspired to write the psalm about this event. They talk about, "I know, He will," talking about God, "He will answer. We will boast in God." Rejoicing in what God had done enabled them to, in fact, have an additional level of trust and dependence upon God. And that only works if we're able to truly rejoice. And this is the benefit of praise and thanksgiving, certainly for what God does in our life, but what He does in the life of others. We learn. And we learn that this God can be trusted. Now again, I want you to think. No doubt you may be going through some difficult time today. And this great God is a God who will strengthen, comfort, guide. But again, I'm sure you know a fellow believer who's going through a difficult time right now. Pray for them. And when you see God work in their life, whether it's just sustaining them through the day, or answering the prayer in a mighty way, rejoice with them. And then as you rejoice with them, stop and consider what God has done and realize what you can learn from them, that our wonderful God is a God whom we can trust. Pray with them. Rejoice with them. Learn from them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, You are a God who can be sought and trusted in all things. And Father, I'm sure probably many this today, Lord, have issues and problems. Lord, be with them. Lord, guide them. Father, I ask, Lord, that You do a mighty work for them, that You meet the need, that You provide the guidance. Lord, that You comfort and strengthen as only You can. But Father, I know that every one of us knows of other believers who are going through difficult times. Lord, may we pray for them. And Lord, when we see You work, even if it's in ways that appear to be greater or get more attention than the ways You've worked in our life, Lord, may we rejoice with them. And oh Lord God, may we learn from them that You are a great God who can be trusted. Father, thank You. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you do have a great day in the Lord.